Hello and welcome to Awilco Drilling PLC's Q2 presentation. My name is Molly, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you need assistance at any time, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, John Oliver Bryce, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thanks, Molly. Yes, I'm John Oliver Bryce. I'm the CEO of Awilco Drilling, and with me today on the call is Ian Wilson, our CFO. Today then, Awilco Drilling's Q2 presentation. For those of you who have access to the web, we'll basically be running through our presentation, our quarterly presentation. You can find that under Investor Relations in the presentation section. Okay, kicking off then, what we're going to be talking about on the call following this presentation. We'll give you some highlights from the quarter. We'll go into the numbers in a little bit more detail, and Ian will help us. He'll walk through that. I'll give you an operational update on the company. Then we'll talk about the market, and we'll touch on the sort of global. We'll also do the Norwegian and the U.K. market, so a little bit bigger market section than normal. We'll do a quick summary, and then we'll hand back to Molly for some Q&A. We are onto the first slide then of the presentation, and we're going to take this opportunity to remind listeners about the recent significant change to Awilco Drilling, and that change being the transformation of the company through a new building program, a rig new building program. Essentially then, the change is more rigs, newer rigs, and a new market, and that new market being the Norwegian Continental Shelf in addition to the U.K., where we operate predominantly at the moment. What specifically is the change then? It's adding to our existing fleet of two third-gen rigs. We're adding a one new build premium harsh environment mid-water semi. This is a Moss CS60 Eco. This is the most fuel efficient, the most high tech, the most modern, and the greenest mid-water semi out there. For these reasons, we believe very much this will be a top pick for customers on the Norwegian Continental Shelf. The deal that sits behind this new building program, a very, very quick recap then, is that the rig pricing is $425 million per rig. That turns into $455 million for each rig project when you factor in project management and a few other miscellaneous costs. It is a three-year delivery, and we started this project in March 2018, so the delivery of this rig will be in March 2021. As an extra to the delivery, we also have a sleeping beauty clause built into the contract, which means we do not actually have to take the rig on completion at 3 years. We can actually place the whole rig on hold for a year. That gives us flexibility in terms of payments. The payments are 10% down, which we've already paid, 10% in 2 years, and then the 80% balance on delivery. That's in 3 years or in 4 years if we use the sleeping beauty clause. That's for the rig, but we also have options, independent options for three identical rigs. Now, they have option call dates on the anniversary of when we started this project. The first option has to be called by March 2019, second option by March 2020, and the third option by March 2021. They are independent options, so we can take the first option, not the last two, the last option, not the middle two, or any combination. They are independent. A really, what's the word? A really fantastic project, and the pricing of the terms very much leveraged at the bottom of the cycle, and a very, very exciting project. We are looking forward to delivery of our first rig. So that was a recap on the big change. Let's move on to the highlights from the quarter. So if you have the presentation, then we're on to the highlights slide. During the month, during the quarter, the Wolf Phoenix only partially worked. It spent 2 of the 3 months in port, which then drove the following numbers for the quarter. So instead of working for the whole 3 months, it was working for 1 month. And that threw off a total Q2 revenue of $9 million, resulting in an EBITDA loss of $1.9 million and a net loss of $7.6 million. During the quarter then, even though we were only working for 1 of the 3 months, we did not have a reduction in OPEX. We actually came in at $80,300 per day. And that's because we kept the rig fully crewed, hot stacked, in fact, and we were also spending money on projects during that time. I'll talk more about that later. Another highlight then is our new customer, Shell. We start with them in September. They have already exercised one of their well options, so that's a very positive development with our new customer. Another highlight from the quarter is that Awilco Drilling exercised its call option and settled our secured bond. So there is no debt now in that respect. So the bond has been settled. Another important development during the quarter, or in respect to the quarter, Awilco Drilling has now announced the suspension of the dividend payment, and I'll talk about more about that later in the call. And then finally, some interesting news. Awilco Drilling has applied to be listed on the main Oslo Bourse. We're currently on the Oslo Access. You could call that the entry level if you like, but we're now in the process of moving to the main Bourse listing. So that's underway, the process is underway, and we are hopeful that that can be completed and ringing the bell in early September. Okay, we're going to move on to the numbers and look at the numbers in a bit more detail. So financial results, we'll kick off with the Q2 18 income statement. And Ian, if you can walk us through these numbers, please.
Okay, thanks, John. Your contract revenue for quarter two was $8.9 million, and that represents the revenue that was earned on the Apache contract due to cessation on 25th of April. And the corresponding revenue efficiency was 98.5%. Under the expenses, the rig operating expenses was $7.4 million. And as John mentioned, $80,300 for the Wolf Phoenix on a per-day basis. And for the Wolf Hunter, which is cold stacked, it was $1,500 per day, which is below the guidance that we had of $2,700. The G&A expense is $3.4 million. And that includes $1 million in respect of revaluation of the long-term incentive program provision. So underlying G&A expense is $2.4 million. Depreciation in at $3.1 million, showing total expenses there of $14.1 million, and operating loss for the period of $5.1 million. Under the financial items, interest expense of $3 million, that includes the interest on the bond that was repaid during the quarter and also the call option amount of 1.5% that was paid as a premium on termination of the bond. So total net financial items of $2.5 million and total loss of $7.6 million. Minimal impact on tax and the net loss for the period $7.6 million, equivalent to 16 cents loss per share. And that's on a weighted average basis. Onto the balance sheet, rigs, machinery and equipment, $215.2 million. Very little movement in the way of additions compared to prior quarter. The trade and other receivables, you will note, is zero. The April revenue that was earned was actually received earlier than normal. It was received in June, and hence, reduced the receivables and increased the cash balance, resulting in a higher cash balance than perhaps people were expecting. So the cash balance at the end of the quarter was $75.8 million. The current tax asset of $6 million represents payments on account, and we expect to recover that money from HMRC in due course. So total assets, $304.4 million. under the debt and equity side, or the sorry, the trade and other creditors, 1 million, and accruals and provisions of 7.6 million, which represents provisions for the LTIP and various other accruals. So total equity and liabilities there, 304.4 million.
Okay, thanks Ian. On to section 3, operational update, and if you're following the presentation, on to slide 11. And we'll kick off with Awilco Drilling's fleet status as of today. Starting with the Will Hunter, still currently cold stacked, sitting offshore in Invergordon, north of Scotland. We guide $1 million a year to keep this stacked. We're coming in a little bit under that, and this is very much being treated as an option on the future. The Will Phoenix is also sitting alongside the Will Hunter, funnily enough, offshore in the Gordon. We have been in port for summer, so that will be about a four-month period. We're now in the fourth month of this period in August. It's hot stacked, fully crewed, and we are preparing for the commencement of our new contract with Shell. The contract was originally awarded for 18 wells with 8 options, with an estimated firm duration of 330 days, the rate being $116,000 per day. But as mentioned before, Shell has already decided to exercise one option, so we're now sitting at 19 firm wells plus 7 option wells, sitting at estimated firm duration of 380 days. So that's us getting ready to go out and start a decommissioning campaign with Shell, and that's a very good contract. We're very much looking forward to working with Shell. On to slide 12 then, operations and new build update. First bullet there, Apache contract was successfully completed on the 25th of April, and so we came in from the North Sea and we went to Invergordon, and as I said, that's where the rig's been there for the summer. It's probably worth remembering that contract was signed in a different market altogether, coming in around about $385,000 a day towards the end. Contract value approximately $420 million over the duration of it. And I think an achievement worth noting is that from that $420 million, our financial efficiency on that was almost 97%, so a very, very good result there. Will Phoenix subsequently hot stacked in Invergordon, as I said. Preparations for Shell ongoing, as I said, and those preparations are lots of auditing. There are some changes going on, and there is some amount of new equipment being installed. And I also said that Shell's exercised an option. I was actually on the rig 2 weeks ago. I'm pleased to say there's a very good atmosphere with the rig crew and a very good relationship with our new customer, and we are just looking forward to going back to work. Okay, some info then on the new build project. Three bullets there. The first one is the new build project. The site team is continuing to ramp up, and this is people on the ground, our Wilco Drilling people on the ground in Singapore, being located in the shipyard, which is Keppel Fells, where our rig is being built. And that project team is being supported by technical and operational personnel in Aberdeen and in Oslo. So lots going on in these initial phases. We're almost 6 months into the three-year timeline of this new build. The next bullet then is marketing activities towards the Norwegian continental shelf operators is ongoing. We've spoken to most and we continue to speak to them, and we have received a lot of interest and some very positive feedback on our rig offering thus far. And then the final bullet then is we continue to evaluate how to build up an organization in Norway which will be customer facing here and will complement our existing HQ, which is in Aberdeen. So that process is ongoing. Okay, on to slide 13. This is a dividend distribution. So we flagged a potential change. We flagged that a review was going on in the last quarter. And as a result, the dividend has now been suspended. Before we go to the details, though, again, a little bit of history, just like I was talking about the Apache contract, a little bit of history with the dividends. It is worth remembering that since 2013, Awilco Drilling has consistently paid a quarterly dividend, and those dividends total some $12 or just over 83 krona per share. So that was quite an achievement. But moving forward, Awilco Drilling has now entered into a growth and investment phase, and as such, the Board of Directors has elected to suspend the dividend payment until Awilco Drilling again reaches an appropriate free cash situation. Okay, let's move on to Section 4, to the market, and Slide 15, if you have that in front of you. First one then, just a quick look at the overall picture globally. It is an improved floating rig picture in terms of tendering activity. We can see globally then that there is definitely an uptick of stuff that's being tendered. And so in the last 6 months especially, it's not just sentiment that's become more positive. We can actually physically see tendering, real data points. So that's very positive, a material increase. We skip on to page slide 16, where then we kind of look at Norway in a bit more detail, look at the Norwegian continental shelf. Well, what can we see from what's going on there? Well, we can say that the floater market, semi-submersible market, has bottomed out. Yes, there are still some stacked rigs, but there very recently there's been some pretty healthy fixtures. If you take those as a data point, look at the last 4 months or so, there's been three significant fixtures, Deep Sea Atlantic, Deep Sea Nordkapp, and West Mira, going out to work for Equinor, Aker BP, and Wintershall, respectively. And these rates now for these rigs in Norway are 292, 325, 270. So, leading edge rates now in excess of 300. So this is a very good story here for the floater market in Norway. On to slide 17. Slide 17 is just a little bit of detail behind slide 16. And that is just to remind you that there is a bit of a bifurcation that has occurred within the semi-submersible space. And that's in Norway and the UK. And the bifurcation is... big rigs are essentially getting bigger bits of work and essentially chasing big rates. Standard rigs are getting what you could call standard work and what you could call standard rates. So if you look at the two graphs you can see in front of you, you can see the light blue line is bigger rigs and the dark blue line is standard rigs. And on the left-hand side, that shows you that the bigger rigs have managed to achieve better contract utilization. And the right-hand graph, you can see that the bigger rigs have managed to get better day rates. So the bigger rigs then are achieving better rates and better utilization. And this is important to remember because this is exactly where Awilco Drilling's new rigs or new rig and options has been firmly pitched. We are very much pitching ourselves towards the top end of the big rig section or sector or segment, if you want to call that, in Norway. And for that reason, we're looking to achieve the better day rates and longer contract utilization. So that's a little bit of detail behind what's going on in Norway and a little bit of history, and it also just reinforces the reasoning behind our business case. All right, let's pop over to slide 18 and essentially pop over to the UK. So what's happening in the UK? Well, the same thing actually is happening in the UK, although there is a bit of a lag with the day rates. So the fleet utilization, that's all the different rigs being offered in the UK by the different drilling contractors, the utilization is actually quite high at the moment. The day rates are starting to move now. If you remember the day rates in 2017, very challenging. People called them OPEX day rates. Some of them were even sub-100. We're definitely seeing a movement now. And you can see in the two pools, or the two segments, if you like, the sort of standard and the big rigs, let's look at them in turn. The standard rigs then, we've seen one fixture, the Transocean 712, going to work for ConocoPhillips at $135,000 a day. So that is a change since Awilco Drilling's 116 with Shell, and that is a change since the 2017 kind of OPEX rates. Then the slightly bigger rigs, we've seen another fixture recently. We've seen the Coastal Pioneer being secured by Nexen for quite a long duration in terms of the UK, which is 18 months, and that's coming at $175,000 a day. So good fleet utilization, and rates are moving in the UK also. So let's summarize what I've just said and what I've just shown you in the previous three slides. So in short then, there's increased market activity in both the UK and Norway. The global rig supply has reduced through continued attrition. We've seen attrition happening since 14, and this is really helping to rebalance the semi-sub market. Pre-2014, there was about 165 floaters, plus or minus, depends how you categorize it. And we've seen about 115 now being scrapped, again, plus or minus, depends how you categorize them. So a big, big section of the floaters have disappeared. The overall rig demand outlook continues to improve, and we've discussed that. That was in our global view of tendering that we can see. And that's in the backdrop of operators throwing off a lot of free cash, operators and being in an environment which is really fostering more activity, in an environment where there's a lot of depleting reserves. So a very positive backdrop. Also, fleet contract utilization. This is the two fleets, the Norwegian fleet and the UK fleet, owned and operated by various drilling contractors. We're seeing fewer idle rigs, and this is helping to add a bit of pressure on day rates now, and we're seeing rates starting to move, albeit a bit gently. Seasonality is still, however, likely to prevail in the UK in 19 and maybe 20. And seasonality is something that's a little bit more prevalent in the UK. The UK is more of a spot market than the North Sea, and we see a sort of spike of activity in the summer, which means that rigs come out only for the summer. That's good for the oil company. They choose the best weather, but it's not ideal for the drilling contractor. But as the market pushes on, rates push on, and there's less and less rigs, the seasonality will sort of change into full year-round utilization when there's less choice for customers. But at the moment, seasonality is still a feature of the UK market. Rig day rates, we've touched on that. What we can see is better rates in Norway. What we can see is bifurcation of rates in both Norway and UK. And what we can see is a lag between UK and Norway. There usually is a difference between the two of them, but there's certainly a lag even with that being factored in. And then the last point to sort of give an indicator of the market is that the financial markets continue to support the funding of new drilling asset acquisitions. In 17, we saw a lot of new players come in, some M&A. 18, we've seen more of the same. So the capital markets are very much still engaged and still interested in drilling plays, especially the harsh environment section. So let's summarize the call then. So Wilco Drilling then, well positioned to capitalize on a recovering market in the North Sea. That's the strap line of the slide 21. We are transforming the company with our fantastic project, I'll call it, at the bottom of the cycle through a new build program with very, very attractive pricing and very, very attractive terms. Optionality, flexibility, a really good deal. The dividend payment has been suspended because the company is now moving into a growth and investment phase. Well, Phoenix, we're ready to start with Shell. Good relationship with Shell. We've already extended that, and it's an excellent contract, and we're looking forward to starting. The market is improving. We've talked about the market there in a bit of depth, so that's a good place to be. And then the final bullet there on our summary is we do continue to evaluate growth opportunities on a case-by-case basis. We have the Well Phoenix ready to go. We have the Well Hunter as a option of the future. We have one new rig ordered. We have three independent options. Over and above that, we continue to look for opportunities that will add value, create value, but also the ones that adhere to our strict financial discipline. So that's the summary of Awilco Drilling's Q2. And what I'm going to do now is hand back to Molly and ask Molly if you'd like to manage questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and ensure that your telephone line is unmuted locally. You'll then be advised when to ask your question. We don't have any questions coming through just yet. So another reminder, it's star one if you would like to ask a question. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any questions coming through, so I'll hand the call back over to you, John, for any concluding remarks.
Okay, just to say thank you for your participation in the Q2 presentation, and that concludes the call. Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets.